Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 91. And for those of you who are listening for the first time, this is a show about a married couple looking at life through a nerd lens. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just dandy because we are talking about something that is very near and dear to us, not just as individuals, but as a couple.
Yeah.
And that is science fiction, specifically science fiction film.
Right, right. One of the first things that we kind of bonded over before we were even boyfriend, girlfriend was the fact that we both love sci-fi so much.
It's true. And yeah. Longtime listeners know that one of the first things that made me realize, like, I need to keep you. I need to put a ring on it. I need to nail it down. Whatever phrase you want to say is when I saw a picture of you dressed as Princess Leia for Halloween.
Yeah. When I was like 12, I went as Princess Leia. I probably would go every year if I could.
there's so many different versions of Princess
That's
Leia.
That's true.
I'd be for it.
Yeah.
I think I'm good with that.
I think you were Obi-Wan, too, around the same age.
Around the same age. I think mm-hmm. I was 12. Yeah, I was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. I was a young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's right.
With the apprentice lock going down the hair and
That's
everything.
That's right.
Like that. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of it. It was authentic.
But it was meant to be.
Yeah, so you may think that that's kind of like a general topic about, you know, like science fiction film, but really it's, we want to dissect what we like about it, what's so great about science fiction, because a lot of you listening are sci-fi fans.
Yeah.
A lot of you have followed me over from To the Journey, which was about a sci-fi show, a Star Trek show. And, I mean, just being an online nerd, you probably like science fiction. I mean, it's not to stereotype, yeah. But it's true.
It's true.
And, but yeah, we want to dissect it. And we also want to talk about hardcore science fiction and mm-hmm. what constitutes hardcore.
Right. Because we're big fans of that.
Very much so. And, but before we get into that, I do want to talk about like what we've been watching recently.
Okay.
One thing that I kind of want to talk about, not very long, is The Outsider with Jared Leto.
Why are you even bothering?
The reason why I'm bringing it up is because this is something that I don't understand Netflix anymore, because I feel like we've been so saturated with Netflix stuff that it's not news anymore. Like when there's
You mean like their original stuff?
Yeah, their original stuff. Like when there's a new release, whether it's a movie or a TV show, they produce so much content. They're trying to build up their own original library so much that none of it is news anymore. Like you and I used to watch everything that came out original on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like every new series, every new movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's just so much we can't keep up. And
you don't even hear about it.
And that,
right,
yes,
right.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get at, is mm-hmm. that you don't even hear about it. I mean, just by luck, we saw the trailer for The Outsider,
mm-hmm.
which is, it takes place in 1954 or something like that, post-war
Doesn't
Japan.
Doesn't matter.
It does so.
No, no, it doesn't.
It takes place in post-war Japan, and Jared Leto is an American soldier in Japan, and he somehow finds a way to join the Yakuza. I thought that was an interesting concept, like an inside the Yakuza from an American perspective. I think that was really interesting. And you and I watched the trailer together, and we mm-hmm. were just like, oh, it looks like it's kind of action-y, and we both like Jared Leto, and, you know, like, mm-hmm. we like this yeah. time period. You like Jared Leto a little bit more than I do. For specific reasons.
Just his looks.
That's it? That's the only thing on him?
Well, yeah. Anyway.
Anywho. So, we started watching it, and what happened?
I was like, I think we were like 40... Maybe not 45 minutes in.
Just about 40 minutes in.
Okay, I still don't know why we're doing what we're doing the entire time. I was like, why are we doing what we're doing? I don't know what the plot is, really. And I was like, if you want to finish this on your own, you can finish it because I'm done. So that's why I'm like, why are we even talking about it?
You couldn't even finish it.
No.
Like, you could not even finish it.
No, it was too frustrating to me.
I for some, like, I was in that moment, I was willing to finish it. I was like, no, you know, like, let's see if it gets better, you know, like, let's see. Because I don't just, you know, like, I love movies that are set in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see Jared Leto kick some ass.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, for those of you who are interested in watching it, this is honestly like a 1-star, 1.5-star Netflix original film. And that really sucks.
Well, I think it was kind of like swept under the rug a little bit because we saw one trailer and then you didn't even like really see it advertised on Netflix. You know, when they're really jazzed about something, you at least see it in like their banner or something.
Yeah, you didn't even see it in the banner, didn't even see it in the suggestions.
Yeah.
And, like, we didn't get a notification on the phone, right, like it got released. And most of the time, Netflix is pretty good at predicting like what we'd be interested in.
Yeah.
And this one didn't do it at all. And I didn't see any spots for it or promos or maybe interviews or featurettes.
Maybe they knew
we would
give it like less than a star.
Maybe. But it was just really disappointing because you didn't understand, like, there was no plot. Like, things happened, but there was no plot. There was no established storyline until towards the middle of the third act.
I'll believe you because I didn't watch it.
There's no reason for you to finish it. And so I watched it on my own time and things didn't get interesting until the last 20 minutes. And, like, once we got to those last 20 minutes, I was like, this is your movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's supposed to be. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because that's a spoiler-free review of just don't watch it. So disappointing.
Something that we, like, not very many people have seen Annihilation, I'm guessing.
Right.
Yeah. But especially since, like, Overseas is coming out on Netflix, like, really soon. But I will say that after we watched it, it has stuck in my head more. It's one of those films that actually I think kind of spurred this conversation about sci-fi because, yeah, like, I think more about it after I watched it. I'm kind of like, I think I liked that more than when I was actually in the theater. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, yeah, we've been that way with a few movies, and Blade Runner 2049 was one of those movies, and we actually mentioned that during our Annihilation
review.
That's
true.
And so the day that we're recording this is the day that Annihilation dropped in Netflix UK store. So if you guys are in the UK and you're listening to this and you haven't listened to our Annihilation review, you should, because it's a good time. We had a lot of fun recording it. First 20 minutes are spoiler free. Then the rest of it is spoilerific. So everyone should go back and listen to episode 90, which is our Annihilation review. Even if you haven't seen it, you should listen to the first 20 minutes at least.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a sci-fi film that gets you thinking.
It does. And there's so much to talk about when you do see it. Like, I still stick by my rating of it, but I will say that it stuck in my head more. We've also kind of gone back and watched Silicon Valley recently.
It's true. We binged that one really, really hard.
Yeah, we did.
Because we started it over a year ago. Maybe two years ago.
Probably 2 years.
Honestly, like a while ago. And we got, I think, like a fourth of the way, maybe halfway through the second season. And for some reason, we just weren't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I honestly can't remember. I think it was the billionaire that came in season two. But we just, you and I just weren't laughing. I don't know what frame of mind we were in.
I don't know.
It just wasn't clicking. And then just, I had a friend who kept dogging me saying, no, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. Pick it back up. And we did, just because we were at a loss of things to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched
all of it.
All of it, the rest of it.
Right.
I think there's 4 seasons right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished season 2 and season 3 and season 4. And now we're going back and rewatching season 1.
Right. And I think season 5 is starting soon here.
Season 5 is starting in a couple of weeks. It's starting on the 25th.
Okay.
And we were laughing our asses off.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I don't know what stopped us.
I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, it's just interesting. Sometimes I feel like you're in a different spot, different years or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Media wise, I don't know. Is there anything that you guys have watched where you go back and you're like, you know what? I didn't give that enough of a try, or maybe I was in a different frame of mind when I watched it, and now I think it's amazing. I don't know. Like, tell us if there's anything like that, because we're running out of Silicon Valley now because we're going back to season 1.
Absolutely. Yes, we want to hear from you guys. Yeah. Like, let us know what you thing, like what you revisited, where you're just like, holy crap, this is the best thing ever. What you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, it'll send us an email. You can also find us on social media. You can go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. You can find us on Twitter at Twitter at join Nerd Party. And you can find us on Instagram at the Nerd Party.
Absolutely.
And one other thing that we would like you to do is if you're a listener and you like what we're doing, and you think we're giving you free entertainment, if you can pay us back somehow by going to iTunes, giving us a review, any review you want, and if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
Absolutely.
So, sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Now, were you raised on sci-fi? Is your family sci-fi fans? Or
not
was
really.
It really just kind of you?
I would say it was more me. To be honest, because, I mean, longtime listeners will know that I didn't really, I guess I didn't really watch much sci-fi until maybe I was around 12, when the special editions came out with Star Wars, which unfortunately was the first way I watched Star Wars.
That's how I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if Star Wars was kind of your entry point
into
sci-fi.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. And once I... This the idea of an, you know, well, we can get into like why, but I feel like just this idea of this other world, or, you know, in a different universe or a different timeline, you know, it was in a galaxy far, far away, you know, like I just really latched on to that and, you know, the different technology and everything like that. So then I started to explore more on my own after that, because, you know, at 12, you kind of are like, oh, I have those more means to explore other things than just what my parents show me.
Right.
I feel like my parents did watch Next Generation, though. I was exposed to that, like Star Trek's Next Generation. But I didn't latch onto it as much as the Riddells.
Okay, since you just brought up Star Trek, I want to see what you think about this, because I'm pretty sure I know what you think about this. Is okay. Star Wars and Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek is, of course, science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you subscribe to the belief that Star Wars is science fantasy instead of science fiction? Or is that just kind of a pedantic hair-splitting thing that nerds do?
I think that's hair-splitting.
Really?
I think so.
Okay, I thought that you would be one of
really?
Those people who thought like, oh yeah, no, like Star Wars is science fantasy. Not, it's more fantasy than it is fiction, science fiction. Now, if you go like, you go to any store, you go to your iTunes genre, you click on science fiction, Star Wars, of course, is going to be there.
Well, I guess it kind of goes to our question about like, would do you consider Star Trek more... Because it's more based in technology, is like we know how things work. Well, do we know how things work? I don't know. Is that what you
mean?
Wait,
what's your question?
So what I'm saying is that do people consider Star Trek to be more sci-fi fantasy, or no?
What you just said, two things.
Sorry.
So like, okay, so are you asking, do people find Star Trek more science fiction?
Or fantasy.
Okay, no, like Star Trek is undoubtedly science
fiction.
And
so people feel like, educate me, Star Wars is more fantasy?
Yes.
Why do they feel like it's more fantasy?
But they qualify it with a science fantasy thing. Because here's the thing. Here's the school of thought.
Okay.
With science, with Star Trek, even though the science is gobbledygook, like it's all made up.
Okay.
So much of it is made
up.
It's rooted in real science concepts like... warp drive and faster than light.
Unlike the Force.
Exactly. See, that's
okay,
the main...
Okay, I understand.
That's what I was going to get to. Like, that's the main qualifier is that, like, in Star Trek, you don't have something like the Force. You don't have mysticism.
Okay.
Now, I mean, okay, out of over 700 episodes, you do have stuff
sure.
that kind of gets a little weird, but it's... I think
okay.
that's the main thing is that, like, you have the Force, you have people, you have the Jedi, which is practically a religion, and things of that nature.
Okay, I can see that. Because Star Trek is more about, like, the function of future technologies.
Exactly, yes. Star Trek focuses so much on how things work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they spend entire episodes on how the engines work. In Star Wars, the hyperdrive, how does the hyperdrive work? It doesn't matter, exactly.
It got us to where we need to go.
It just works. It gets you where
well,
you need to go.
Well, I think that's why I'm a Star Wars fan and versus a... you know, a Star Trek fan, honestly. I think that's probably what it boils down to. I mean, other than I identified more with those characters. Mm-hmm. But for me, in my viewing experience, in my science fiction that I appreciate, I don't really care how it works. But maybe that's more of how I think. Like, I don't care how it works. I just want the story. Mm-hmm. Whereas you were more about like, ooh, I know what ship this is, and uh-huh. I know how this works, and you know, this is not right because I don't know. You know, it's more the technical aspect of it. Whereas I'm like, it's cool. I mean, I know a lightsaber couldn't happen in real life, but it doesn't matter to me. It's awesome.
I think that's pretty accurate. I think even though I love Star Wars, but I'm very much in my heart of hearts a Star Trek fan.
Right.
If I had to choose, I would choose Star Trek.
Right.
I was practically raised in science fiction because of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I was like from
hardcore,
zero. Yeah. Right. From zero, I was watching Star right. Trek, and that Star Trek was my entry point and opened up the door to Star Wars and mm-hmm. Dune and
right.
and everything like that. And so it's I was that kid who took everything apart. Like, I was the kid who took the VCR apart when I wasn't supposed to, just to see how it worked.
Right.
You know, I was a kid who built his own computer when he was 10 years old.
Yeah, you inherited that stuff onto our daughter, Ripley.
I mean, I passed it on.
Yes, she inherited that stuff because I can't tell you how many times I walk in and she has like the TV on and is like flipping through our Apple TV, and
it's beautiful. She's 13 months old and she knows how to use the TV, and we don't let her watch TV.
No, we don't. And we don't let her on our phones either, but she knows things. And
she knows how to swipe.
She knows how to take a picture of herself. I'm like, how? I don't even let you touch it.
She's drawn to technology, and
she
I love it.
She is. It's so you.
It's beautiful.
So you. There was one day where I texted you and I was like, your daughter, it's always your daughter when mm-hmm. she's in trouble. Your daughter turned on the TV and I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know what she did. And
I texted you back and I said, we'll just give it to her.
Exactly,
and then have her
exactly.
turn it off.
I'm like, okay, cool.
Just ask Ripley. She'll figure it
exactly,
out.
Exactly.
But it's true. I mean, I think that's pretty spot on. That
yeah.
maybe that is why I'm drawn more to Star Trek than Star Wars.
And I think I was probably raised more with fantasy, to be honest with you, like more
Lord of the Rings.
Well, maybe not as. I mean, yeah, I guess more of those ideas, stuff like, you know, Princess Bride and Lord of the Rings, and you know, more of that kind of thing. Where, and I guess it kind of lends itself to more of a Star Wars audience, I think, wouldn't you say? Because it's more like, you don't
like
necessarily
a fairy tale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars is kind of more like a fairy
I feel
tale.
Like
you got
it
you
is.
Have knights, you have
right.
you have the Rancor, you know,
right.
practically a dragon.
You've love, you've,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, yep. not that you don't have that stuff in Star Trek, but I feel like that's more what I like in science fiction. Mm. Yeah.
Now, with that, since you're talking about science fiction, what you love in science fiction, I do want to talk about hardcore science fiction, because mm-hmm. even though Star Trek is undoubtedly science fiction over Star Wars, I still can't, it's not hardcore science fiction. And I think the main reason for me, because I think there's many interpretations of what constitutes hardcore science fiction, mm-hmm. for me it's how rooted it is in real science.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because even though, you know, like Star Trek has a lot of science application and a lot of scientists became scientists because of Star Trek.
Right.
And warp speed is theoretically possible. And, you know, the communicators and the phasers and everything like that, all of this, you know, it actually generated real world technology from mm-hmm. the 60s and onward. It's still, you know, it's still make-believe. It's still
right.
like... It's still a plot device. It's a magic scanner that does whatever the producers want it to do. You know,
mm-hmm. It's still fiction.
It's still fiction. And so when I started thinking about what is hard, like what movies, what some of our favorite movies are hardcore science fiction, I think like the first thing that pops in my head is Gattaca.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think about that one. Yeah, because that was a long time ago too.
That's an Ethan Hawke
right.
and Uma Thurman movie.
That's a good one.
And it opens up and it says the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. And everybody is like, okay, so.
I love when they say the not too distant future instead of like
yes.
pigeonholing themselves into
yes.
a certain date, because then that date rolls around and then you're like, that didn't happen.
That honestly, I think Blade Runner would be better if they didn't actually give a date, because someday we're going to pass. We already passed that date.
Right.
And with other movies like that, we're just like, oh, you kind of missed the mark. Right. You know, like you really overshot the mark.
Yeah. And it does take you out of it a little bit.
It does. Yeah. It does.
So Gattaca. Yeah.
Gattaca. Yeah. Like for those of you who haven't seen it, absolutely watch it. Mm-hmm. It's a future where everybody is genetically engineered.
Right.
Everybody. And if you aren't, if you're a quote unquote God child, mm-hmm. where your parents conceived you naturally.
Right.
Then you're kind of on the lower end of society.
Right. Because everyone else is genetically engineered to be the best.
Faster, stronger, smarter. Right. Everything like that. It's the best of the best.
It's true.
And so it's about, I think one of the lines in the movie is, we've gotten discrimination down to a science. And I just think that's such a beautiful line. And it's a beautiful story. And I think there was some panel years ago, like filled with actual scientists, and they were talking about movies. And they're like, what are some of the most accurate science fiction films? And everybody put Gattaca at the top of the list.
Mm.
Like, this is something that could happen.
It could happen.
And it was portrayed in a very realistic way.
Right. And the idea of, like, I think whenever I think of that film, I think about Ethan Hawke collecting Jude Law's like fingernails and hair
and blood
and urine. Like just like how that was how they identified each person, even how like how you got into work was having that stuff,
a droplet of blood from your finger,
which is just crazy. But you could see that potentially happening mm-hmm. one day. And I think it also, maybe because we kind of used a little, we used science to get our baby here. we went through IVF, and we always kind of had this conversation where we're like, well, we have an IVF baby, but what if we like somehow one day got pregnant
the natural way?
Like that would be just like, we were like, well, we would have one godchild.
I know. Okay, you're remembering a little differently, because I'm the one who brought that up.
Oh,
and
really?
I jokingly said, I was like, oh yeah, we could have Ripley and then a godchild. And you're like, our baby is a godchild.
Does sound like me.
You got upset.
I probably
with
did
me.
Get upset with, okay. Maybe I like to remember things the way I like to remember them. That's very much
me. But it's
me.
Like, if that happened, like if we conceived the natural way, like if we had an IVF baby and conceived the natural way, it would be really hard for me not to call this kid a godchild.
Poor kid would have a complex. Yeah. Like I was going to say, we probably shouldn't, but that's not going to happen. So
it's really not going to happen. But yeah, so that Gattaca is at the top of the list for me for like an example of hardcore science fiction. Mm-hmm. It takes place in the not too distant future. Very science-based. Genetic engineering,
right.
Like limited space travel, like within our solar system, everything like that. But they didn't, like, you never saw the space travel.
Yeah.
It was all earthbound. It was just in the abstract.
Yeah. I feel like in so much of, I feel hard science movies, like hardcore science movies where you actually believe that this could happen or it's rooted more in science, it's never too far off, and it's always something that you're like, oh yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Or you know, like a retinal scan or you know, something like that where you're like, oh yeah, that happens.
Realistic. Just technology.
Realistic
technology. You
absolutely
could see happening.
Absolutely.
Sometimes within your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of helps, like if you could see that happening, like, oh, we not when I'm 70 years old I could see that kind of thing
right
happening.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think that's necessarily like the only
no,
thing.
No, but a lot of times I feel like there's not a lot of, they don't change things so much in a lot of those films that you couldn't believe that it wouldn't happen just like a few years from now.
Yeah.
One that comes to mind is Arrival.
Yes, I thought about that one too, since we were talking about Denis Villeneuve. You know?
Yes. just this idea of, you know, how they communicated. And the science that they were using to communicate and everything like that with this alien. And it was even like, you know, this idea that nothing really had changed from our perspective, like what we know to be true, but just this thing appeared and how they would react to it felt very real.
I'm glad that you brought up Arrival, because I do believe that that is hardcore science fiction. And it's about not an alien invasion, but it's about aliens coming mm-hmm. to us in present day. So no technology is different.
Right.
Nothing's changing. It's just how we would react to aliens. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to compare that to War of the Worlds, the Spielberg film.
Oh.
Not hardcore science fiction.
No.
But it's about aliens coming to us in present day. So the difference, I believe, is how, like, when you look at War of the Worlds, it's not about the science of things. It's Mm-mm. not about how we communicate with them. It's not even how we use technology to fight them. It was just about the American refugee experience.
Yeah, it almost feels more like a monster movie to me than Arrival, where it feels more of a drama.
And
even
like they focus so much of their time and energy on communication, on language, on phrenology, and I don't even know if I'm using that word correctly or if that's the right word. But you know, things like that, like mm-hmm. phonetics, and so it's really about the tactics of language.
Right.
And War of the Worlds is about explosions. And it doesn't mean that one is better than the other.
No.
It just means that
They're both sci-fi,
but one is hardcore science fiction and one isn't.
Right. And also, I don't know, like the whole time when I was watching Arrival, I was like, yeah, that feels like how we would react, what we would do. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that they were treating it in the way that we possibly would if that was to happen.
I think another movie, like, I like that way that you put that. Like, I think another movie where this might be, I don't know, this might be skirting the hardcore science fiction area, but it was something that I was watching and I was just like, I could totally see this happening, 100%. This, if we were in this situation, mm-hmm. this is exactly what would happen, and that was District 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if you could call it hardcore.
I know.
But it's more about how we would react.
Yes.
Right? Like with a refugee type camp situation where we're kind of like isolating.
See, that's the thing, is that like where
the racism involved.
Speciesism.
Was that what you would call it?
I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know. I think so.
Well, this that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could see that happening.
The discrimination.
Right.
I think that's the thing. Like, yeah, I could feel your hesitation. You're like, is that a hardcore?
Because
it doesn't focus on the science, but it does focus on the realistic aspect. I think that's where, I'm not saying 100% yes, but I think that's why I'm kind of leaning towards it, because it takes it from a very sophisticated and earnest way mm-hmm. where what if aliens came mm-hmm. in the 80s and mm-hmm. they were stuck here, what would our life be like? And you know, like some people would say like, oh, well then, you know, what about Alien Nation? That's not hardcore science fiction, but it's the same concept. So I don't know. I don't know.
That one, I think I might have a little bit more problem with that one. But
I'm not gonna fight too hard.
I do think that the point of, I think what we're getting at is a lot of these that we're considering a little bit more hardcore, or at least even the way that you felt about District 9 is, it feels more subdued in its response to aliens. It's not like we're just blowing them up, mm-hmm. you know, or like
it's trying to say something.
It is. That's true.
And I think that's good science fiction all around, not even hardcore science fiction. And I see that a lot, like in people talking about it online or in person. Everybody kind of describes science fiction the same way, is that it takes a fantastical template but tries to reflect that within ourselves and mm-hmm. tries to say something about society that otherwise wouldn't be able to be said. I mean, like, even if you look at Star Trek in the 60s or hell, in the 80s and early 90s, is that they were tackling topics mm-hmm. that were considered taboo.
Absolutely.
In modern TV and modern film, but because they put it through a sci-fi lens, it went over certain people's heads, but the people who were the hardcore fans understood it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. Another one of my favorite, hardcore, is Interstellar.
Interstellar
is one of my favorite movies, I think.
At the top of the list.
Yeah.
When it comes to, because, like, that came out a couple years ago, and Chris Nolan and, his staff and his wife and everything like that were very, very focused on getting the science as accurate as possible. Mm-hmm. That also was a not too distant future kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, like they actually worked with astrophysicist Kip Thorne mm-hmm. on trying to keep things as accurate as possible. Now, of course, it's a movie.
Right. I mean, don't think about the bookcase scene. I mean, yeah. like, but take away some of that stuff. But a lot of the, you know, I think that.
But even just to interject real quick, even the concept of the book scene is rooted in science.
That is true. That's very true. I'll take that back. But I think the thing that blew my mind when I saw that film, and even like the special features when I saw the film, because I think that one, for me, I like it more and more every single time I watch it. Mm-hmm. The thing that blew my mind was just this idea of relativity and the idea of, you know, and this is one of my favorite things when I even read science fiction, is this idea that, okay, on this planet, you could go down there and lose 2 years. Mm-hmm. Or you could gain 10 years, you know, that idea, you know, something like well,
you
that.
You can't really right. gain, but I know I'm what just you're saying.
Like, yeah. you know, someone back on Earth could be, you know, dead by the time you were, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
So that idea to me is just so fascinating. I love that. I think
that's probably one of the reasons why you love Ender's Game so much.
Oh, yeah.
It's because
that was my favorite. It
deals,
to teach.
Mm-hmm. deals with relativity. And mm-hmm. that was something that I was always fascinated with, too.
Yeah.
Was the idea that actually I think I was first introduced to relativity with Planet of the Apes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was his opening monologue where he actually talked about relativity, where he said something like 6 months in deep space, but 700 years passed back on Earth.
Mm, yeah.
And I just it's like, true. When I first saw that as a little kid, I was just like, what? It's like, why is that worth it? Like, would you really want to do that? But it's, you know, for people who, you know, really have no connections back home, and they're just like, it doesn't matter how much time passes. And
yeah.
I just remember him getting all philosophical towards the end of his opening monologue, where he's just like, does man still war with each other's brothers? You know, just like everything, like, do they still let their children starve? It's just, to the like man that. Who marvels at the universe. Oh, man, I loved it. Oh, I loved it so much. But yeah, I think, yes, yeah. relativity, absolutely.
I think it fascinates me and also terrifies me because I don't think I could ever bring myself to experience it. Like, I mean, obviously I have ties at home, so I, right. you know, it does matter to me, but...
I know this is totally cheating, but if it wasn't for my family, mm-hmm. I'd be 100% okay with it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You'd be all about, like, going into space and, like...
Hell yes.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. Like,
terrifying.
If I, like, knowing that, like, time passed back on Earth faster, I'd mm-hmm. be just like, oh, sweet, I can catch up on all the movies I missed, like, super quick. And, like, I'll have more advanced technology. Maybe I can get a holodeck or, you know, a food replicator or something like that. Or heaven forbid, though, but, you know, like, but in Chuck Heston's situation, he came back to Annihilation. He came right. back to an apocalypse. So I guess that would be kind of terrifying.
Right.
I keep thinking the future is actually Star Trek, you know? So, just like, if I wait long enough, I can get to Star Trek.
So if it was Star Trek, it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But not Planet of the Apes.
No.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Got it. Yeah. No, that's too terrifying for me. Like, I think I would visit other planets if it was like, did you see that in the news? Like, they said possibly that, like, travel to Mars or something might be possible really soon. Did
oh,
you
Elon
see
Musk was
yeah,
talking about
yeah.
that. Like, I'm sure, like, there's no
it
way.
Would have to be, like, years and years from now.
When you get there
actually,
in, like, a week.
Right. For me to actually, like, travel. Yeah. No.
It's not going to. Like,
it would terrify me.
Pedestrian Mars travel is not going to happen in our lifetime. So
no,
you won't
that's
have to
true.
Worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I don't have to face that decision.
Now, one, like, oh, there might be a couple other ones that I want to mention. I mean, not like we're making a list or anything like that, but The Martian.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that,
yeah,
that is
more,
that's a hardcore
that's
science
rooted.
Fiction one.
Mm-hmm.
Very
that's a,
much.
That's a fun book to read, too.
Love the book.
Yeah.
Love the book more than the movie.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
and I'm
definitely.
Not being, like, one of those pretentious
no,
people.
No, the book is better.
The book is just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's just very well written, and it's just, it's really engaging. And I think we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. The audiobook is even, is,
oh, yeah,
is such a great experience.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have talked about this a little bit, and since we talked about Annihilation last week, Ex Machina would be another example, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's focusing on, like, what it is to be human and making an artificial intelligence. What does that mean for us as a society?
We've talked about that on the show before how like you're all about it, and I'm like, no way.
I am hard. Yes, absolutely. No, bring in artificial intelligence.
No way.
Don't even care. No. Yeah. I think the name of the episode was AI in my house.
That's right. I said no.
Not in my house.
That's right.
Like, I think we talked about like having like a her situation, like a Spike Jonze her situation. Like,
oh, I think I would be okay with that, right? I said that, or no?
No, you said no. You said no to everything.
Well, that's true. I did. I still stand by that. I don't even want Alexa in my house.
No, I would love to have a Jarvis in like running the house, and like I could talk to in the car and everything like that. Hey, like terrible. Send this email, do this, do that.
No. Yes. No, it's not going to happen.
See, I think one example that you came up with that really stuck with me is that you wouldn't want it connected to appliances because you would open up the fridge and then this voice would go, really?
That's right.
Do you really want to have another Coke? You're like, I don't need that kind of judgment.
That's right. It's true. Even that, I don't want that in my house.
So regardless of, I think we've pretty much established what we think hardcore science fiction is. And so you guys, let us know what you think hardcore science fiction is, or what some of your favorite hardcore science fiction movies are. I mean, we've already talked about it, about how you can reach us, go to thenerdparty.com for everything.
Absolutely.
So regardless of that, regardless of hardcore, what are some of your favorite science fiction films? Like besides Star Trek and Star Wars and everything like that, like what pops into your brain where you're just like, yes.
For sci-fi.
This is me. This is about it.
I feel like we've talked about several of them already.
So like some of the, would you say that you gravitate more towards the hard science?
I think, well, now that we're actually talking it out, I think so. Like, I mean, like I said, I feel like Interstellar has become one of my favorite films. Just because I just love the idea of it, and I think the thing that I love most about it is how it's possible. Like as much as you can. I mean, I know there's certain areas.
Yeah, no, it's rooted in realism. Yeah,
absolutely. What about you? I mean, I know that we love sci-fi, so it's hard to like narrow down. Like, and I don't want to do a whole list, but
I'm just gonna, like, I was just thinking about like mentioning one or a few or something like that. Like,
it's hard to do though.
Yeah, I think like District 9 is definitely up there on some of my favorite science fiction. Just because of like the story, the perspective, how it starts off like a documentary and seamlessly weaves into straight narrative fiction. It's just that. Beautiful the way that it's edited.
Yeah.
As well as the CGI integration. It's some of the best that I've seen, even by today's standards.
It's really good.
In a post-Weta world that we're living in. And, you know, Children of Men.
Oh, yeah. We always forget about that one.
And Dune. I think those are some of my top science fiction ones.
Dune is a big deal.
I mean, like... I know that people like to make fun of the movie a lot, the David Lynch film. I get it. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But because I love the story so much and I love the book so much and I love these characters, I'm just like, I don't care. I mean, like Dune is larger than just...
One movie.
The one movie.
I get that.
And so I just love the whole concept of it, the world that exists
in. I get that. Yeah, I kind of feel that way about Ender's Game. Like, that's one of my favorite books, but... The movie sucked.
the movie just was terrible. Was not good.
So I feel that way about it.
I don't even think the movie was terrible. I think it was just mediocre.
It was. Especially with the material. I think that's the thing with science fiction and books is that you can go so much deeper into the world if you really think about it, because there's so much more room to explore.
I think I might have figured out what my favorite science fiction film of all time is.
Really?
Yeah. I think, like, put a gun to my head, this could be number one.
Okay.
Serenity.
Really?
Yes. It's the theme song of this,
that's true,
this podcast.
That's true.
I love Serenity in my bones.
I know you do, because every single time there's a new edition or even case for it, you feel the need to buy it.
There was a brand spanking new beautiful edition that came out, and I didn't get it because we swore off physical media. You should be proud of
that. But a little piece of you died.
A little bit. A little bit. I was just like, I just want to own it. I'll put it away. I just want to own it.
Well, I feel, I don't know if this is my favorite, but it's up there. I would say Alien. I mean, we're forgetting about Alien franchise. Gosh, yes. And I mean,
speaking of which, we just rewatched Alien Covenant
last
night.
We did, yeah.
I still liked it.
I still saw a lot of problems.
they're there.
But it's a fun watch. I think that's the thing. But Alien is just so beautiful.
So as we close out the episode, mm-hmm. as we round third here, what is it about science fiction that you love so much? What draws you to the genre?
I think it's the idea of something we haven't experienced, right? It's the idea of going into the stars. We see the stars. The idea of, you know, or something coming from the stars, coming from the sky. And I think it's the unknown. I think that's the main thing is, you know, period pieces, been there, done that. Whereas when you're exploring the science fiction genre, you can explore different, you know, technologies, different things to help you in a daily life, different vehicles of transportation, mm-hmm. You know, different alien species. So I think it's the unknown that's so, and I think it's just so rich for exploration. I think that's the thing is it's such a, the genre is something that we don't know, so we can make it up. It's all make-believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of it, like we talked about hardcore, it's like, well, make-believe, but could happen. So I think that that's the main thing that's the draw is, you know, the idea of exploration.
I don't even really want to add to that. That was so well put. I don't, honestly, like it was just like, well, crap. I mean, it was so eloquent.
You should have gone first.
That, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I can say. Other than I think what I'll do is like, I want to echo everything that you said, but I also want to add something to it. And this is because I am a Star Trek fan, first and foremost, above everything, is that the idea that we can become better.
Mm.
That we can strive to become better as not only individuals, but as a society, that it is not a dystopian future.
Sometimes.
Even though I love dystopian fiction and I love Annihilation and I love
right.
The concept of Annihilation, not necessarily the movie,
right.
But I love post-apocalyptic stuff. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's a different genre.
But it's a different genre. What I love about Star Trek is that we, as a society, we're past war with each other, we're past hunger, we're past scarcity, we're past money, all of those things, and that it's no longer about acquiring wealth, but the true wealth is bettering yourself and helping your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that eternal message.
More about creation and relationships.
Right.
Too.
Right. Absolutely. And so, and just pure creation and exploration, like you were talking about, that's what I love about science fiction, and on top of everything that you said, because it is the unknown and you get mm-hmm. to glimpse an unknown and think about your own future and think about humanity's future and what is possible.
Right. And I think the thing too that's so fascinating is just the idea that there are, you know, other galaxies, there's other, you know, solar systems that we don't necessarily know what's out there. And I think just the fact that we're here, this the idea that maybe there's something else out there,
mm-hmm.
similar or different.
Talking about us.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool.
I think so too. Well, there you go, folks. There you have it. That is our discussion on science fiction. We want to hear from you. Please go to thenerdparty.com for all of our back episodes and all of our other shows. We've got Star Wars and Star Trek shows that deal with science fiction. We've got a Doctor Who show that deals with science fiction. And we've got so many things in between. So please check out everything there, as well as going to iTunes and giving us a review. If you give us 5 stars, we'll mention you on the show.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.